Wow, look how nice outside it is today. It'll be a great day to just sit back, relax, and listen to the radio.
12 seconds later.
You know what? I changed my mind. It's too cold. Let's go listen inside. No matter what the weather is outside, you can still listen to WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM Red Dragon Radio. Stay cool, stay warm, and keep it locked.
Since the start of quarantine, social media users around the world have shared their struggles with mental health this past year. With restaurants and businesses being shut down to the constant number change of COVID cases, 2020 has been a long year for many. Among that many are your kids. Now that most classes are online, your little one's school experience is much different than they would have imagined. From taking 8-hour classes at home to not being able to see their friends every day, quarantine can be hard on your children. The effects of COVID-19 impact everyone, including your little ones. So please, check on your kids. Their mental health is just as important as your own.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, March 2nd, join the Activities Council to make spring-themed arts and crafts in Hunt Union International Lounge at 8 p.m. On Tuesday, March 3rd, from 12:30 to 5 p.m., donate your used clothes to the Red Dragon Thrift Shop in Hunt Union next to Starbucks. Trivia Tuesday is happening at 9 p.m. in Red Dragon Theater at Hunt Union. Interested in some winter fun? Happening on Wednesday, March 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. in the President's Garden, check out the Winter Carnival, which has winter-themed carnival games, delicious donut holes, hot cocoa, and even more events to explore. On Thursday, March 5th, Mask and Hammer presents the first showing of Stupid Effing Bird, happening in the Hamlin Theater at 7:30 p.m. More showings are also happening on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up, everyone? DJ Nosfer Mark II. What's going down? Episode 91. Rocking and rolling here. SUNY Oneonta, WONY 90.9 FM. Keeping it locked. Home of Red Dragon Radio in the basement of Hunt Union. We rockin', we rollin'. It is 8:03 on Tuesday, March 3rd. We are in week 6 of SUNY Oneonta school year. And I believe I will have a guest here. Just gonna wait until she shows up to announce everything. I was just going through this weekend. I bought some albums, and I bought the Disney vinyl for Lady and the Tramp, 1962. And it's pretty cool. There's some interesting songs on here. But a couple things that I did not realize is the instrumental that it starts with, which is called Lady. I didn't even realize it was the same when it's the song that Pee Wee Herman is walking around to before he loses his bike. So when he's in like the shop, like the mall area, the outside like strip mall kind of thing, when he's going to the magic store and the bike shop, Chuck's Bike-O-Rama, when he's there, that song is on here. And unfortunately, I played it. I got this album's $90. When I played it, there was it's kind of skipping a little bit. So I'm actually going to play the third song on here, and it's La La Lu. Terry York is the one who sings this, which is awesome. So here we go. This is the third song off of the 64. It's weird. The front of this says 1962. The back of this says 1964. I wonder which one it is. Somebody can let me know. But here we go. This is La La Lu. I'm just going to toss on something quick while I get our guest situated here. That was La La Lu from, once again, some 1962, 1964, Lady and the Tramp. What a great song. That movie is it was amazing from what I remember. I have to go back and watch it again. Yeah, we'll be back. I'm going to put some Stevie Wonder on for a second. And then I'm going to be back, and we're going to have an awesome interview, and I'll announce the guest then and so forth. So rock and roll, we're going to listen a little Higher Ground here, and then I'll be back momentarily, everyone. Mm-hmm.
creatures keep on preaching. Whoa, keep on turning. Doesn't bother me too long. Oh no, lovers keep on.
Man, just started. This Sir Duke just started. Such a good album. Okay, so my guest is here, and I'm very excited. Meryl Juster, right, who graduated from SUNY Oneonta a while ago. Let me check this mic. There we go. Sorry. She's here today to not only tell us about herself, but also of an organization called Children's Home, which is a foster care nonprofit organization. Yes. And we're going to learn all about this, which is such an important thing. It's such an important thing. And I can't even fathom working at for me personally, this must be a satisfying job.
It is definitely fulfilling
to work in, you know? Yeah, and just a wonderful thing. We need more wonderful things in this world, everybody. okay, so we're going to backtrack a little bit here and kind of talk about Meryl to begin with. So what I like to do is point of, conception till when you wound up here, right? So kind of like a brief span, where'd you come from? What's been going on for the past how many years you've been gracing our wonderful planet?
Yeah, thanks. Sure. I think point of conception is a perfect phrase to use, yeah. Especially being I am a person of adoption.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So this has been in my life for my entire life. Having a lived experience, not necessarily through foster care. I was adopted through a private agency.
Okay.
But I do have family members that did experience what foster care was like.
Sure.
So this is something that is very close to my heart. And I have been in this line of work now for just over 6 years.
Okay.
When I first got into this line of work, it was through direct support. So I was a certified foster parent in a agency-operated foster home where foster parents kind of would be on shift, if that makes sense.
Okay, so you were working in a home, a building that fostered kids at the building?
Correct.
Okay, at the
yes.
building. Can we back up just for 1 second before
yeah.
we get into this? Mm-hmm. Schooling?
For schooling?
Oh, no, just what did you do before that?
Other
things. Yeah, just some personal stuff. I always like to get into people's personal lives, if you don't mind.
No,
just
don't.
So that we're like, hey, who are you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where'd you live? Where'd you grow up? What schools were you involved in?
Yeah, Yeah, so I grew up in, like, the Albany area.
Oh, what part?
Right outside of Albany off Delaware Ave is Delmar, New York.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up near there. I grew up in Schenectady.
Oh, okay.
So, and I lived, like, my sister lived on Lark Street and stuff like that. So yeah. I know the joints pretty well around there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So I grew up in Delmar, New York. I went to 3 different high schools, ultimately graduating from Doan Stewart in Rensselaer.
Okay.
Made my way to Hartwick College, and as one does, I transferred to SUNY Oneonta.
Okay, I graduated from Hartwick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I loved Hartwick, and I loved SUNY, and graduating from here was really rewarding, and it's so interesting being back on campus. As I was driving through, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Was this the first time you've been back?
Yeah.
What was your major when you were here?
So I was Bachelor's of Science with Digital and Studio Arts.
Okay. Very yep. cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sven. Did you work with Sven? Was he one of the teachers there, Sven? I thought he was in the Digital Arts program.
Animation?
I don't know. S-V-E-N. That's his first name. I think he was part of the art department. I don't remember.
I'm sure.
I don't go over there that much, but I'm in the same building, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. So you did digital art?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Cool.
I wound up changing my major so many different times. I spent a lot of time in college.
Yep, that's okay.
And ultimately wound up with a bachelor's in science because of all the different classes and paths that I took. And then I wound up in social services.
Yeah.
You know?
As one does.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of one of those situations where it was like, you know, my educational path didn't necessarily surround social services, but my lived experience and my life really did.
Sure.
And it turns out that my strengths really lied within the social services realm. And it has been really, really rewarding to be able to connect with people on such a level. Throughout life in general, as somebody who is adopted, we tend to find each other, you know, like we tend to meet other people who are adopted, and, you know, it's not something that we just have written on our foreheads, but
yeah,
if it's something that gets brought up, you'd be surprised how many people that you meet every day are adopted or have actually been through foster care or have some experience being raised by grandparents or kin caregivers. You know, the community is vast and wide and everywhere, and it's not talked about a lot.
No.
So that's a part of what I do, is just bring up that conversation, because it seems like a difficult conversation, but it's actually super easy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't think I've spent any time, to be honest with you, talking with somebody in depth about somebody that worked within the system.
Mm-hmm.
I've done stuff with child support service, like services and stuff like that I've worked with, but not just somebody within the foster care thing. Okay, so you graduate and then you start working for this. What was the name of the organization that you started with?
I started with Delaware Opportunities.
Okay, Delaware Opportunities. And that was a home, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so if you could go a little bit into that again. Sorry I interrupted it before, but I wanted to get a little backtrack on that. Yeah. So, okay, so we're here working for Delaware Opportunities. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so that experience was, you know, it was challenging. It was rewarding. It was something that led me on a path to want more. It made me hungry to help. So as a certified foster parent, you know, foster parents are the first responders for the everyday life of a child. And, you know, their experience is really valuable. They have insight that, you know, not really anybody else within the system gets to have. So they're the first advocate for that child. It was definitely challenging, but the relationships that I built with these kids was incredible. I mean, I'll never forget them. I hope that they never forget me.
I'm sure they won't.
I still have contact with some of the teens that I worked with. And, you know, it was a really, really beautiful experience. It made me realize over my time working there that I wanted to help in more of like a wider range. So when I was presented with the opportunity to be the person to hopefully recruit those who are interested in becoming foster or adoptive parents, and then training them in how to do that, and then being able to support them throughout that journey, I really couldn't turn that down. That I saw that and I said, that's exactly what I want to do. Yeah. I want to help people be able to help people. My reach is going to be so far through that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So, okay, where do I start? So, okay, so you work for this you work for Delaware, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then is this the organization you went to straight from there?
Yes. So
okay.
Now I work with the Children's Home.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is go over a few things here. Number one, I would like to go over what this organization is,
mm-hmm.
How it's funded, right? It's always a kind of an important thing to me to find out where things are. And then its reach, what it does, and then we'll kind of go into some of the idiosyncrasies of that and what you do and so forth, right?
Okay,
just
sure.
So people know. So tell us about Children's Home.
Yeah, so Children's Home is a pretty big agency. We're a nonprofit agency. There are many different services under the umbrella of Children's Home.
Okay.
I can really talk about what my program is, which is the Close to Home program, which is foster adoptive. The hub of Children's Home is in Binghamton, New York, so it's Broome County.
Okay.
But we do have other offices that span out from there. So I am located in Norwich, which is Chenango County. And then we also have a Cortland County office. And then there's some offices even in the Mid-Hudson area. Now, I certify foster homes in Chenango, Delaware, Madison, and Otsego County.
Okay.
So my office might be in Norwich, but I work with the Department of Social Services in those areas specifically. But, you know, with Children's Home, we're a voluntary agency. We certify therapeutic foster homes. And so we have the ability to work really with any Department of Social Services. If we receive what's called a referral, we basically review that referral. It would be about a child in need of placement. And then we try our best to make a match with somebody that we feel like would be able to meet the needs of that child.
Okay. And this is a government organization, right? So is this through some kind of...
This is a nonprofit agency.
So where's the funding come from? That's always my question, right? Where's the funding come from? Because it's super important.
So I believe that the funding comes from, like, New York State OCFS. So
okay.
We're OCFS certified.
Yep.
So I can't really speak too far
into
that.
Yeah, I'm just always wondering, like, you know, these wonderful programs. And, you know, hopefully, but the reason I ask is because I'm, like, really hope that my tax dollars...
Yeah.
Go towards something like this. Like, this is
right.
What I would like my tax dollars going towards, you know,
great,
whether or not it is or not. But, like, I'm hoping that it does. I'm sure part of this does if it's part of social services, you know.
Yeah.
Or some organization attached to that. So
yeah, there's other programs under Children's Home that are, like, more like Medicaid billing and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay, sure.
That's not ours. Like, there's programs that we work alongside that do that, but my particular role in... like certification and home finding, we don't deal with that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about so, you know, obviously referrals come in from people who say, okay, this child needs a mm-hmm. foster home, foster care, and so forth. Do you personally meet with the kids too?
Sometimes.
Okay.
So when there is a child that might be like stepping down from a residential setting,
yep.
we might have more access to meet that child. Sometimes if we receive a referral from the Department of Social Services, that that child may be entering foster care at that time.
Yep.
And there's no time to meet the child. Sometimes we have very limited information. Other times we have a lot more information. A lot of conversations tend to happen with a caseworker or a CPS worker to try to get a well-rounded image about what this child's life looks like and who they are. Now, it's nearly impossible to get that on paper. So if we can have these conversations verbally with somebody who has had extended experience with the child, that's always the best route to go.
Yeah.
So very rarely will there ever be an instance where a referral comes across our desk and then we're not making a follow-up phone call to find out more than what's on the paper.
Sure.
Yeah.
So these are just some logistical things. So I'm always kind of thinking, hey, how does this happen, right? How do these things, what order in these happen? So suppose a child loses its former foster care, mm-hmm. or, you know, God forbid, parents or whoever their guardians are and so forth. And before they're placed into somewhat of either a semi-permanent or permanent foster care program, there are, and you said you had kind of worked at another, Delaware, there are hubs, places that the kids can go to that are housed. Is that, am I getting that correct or not correct or?
Yeah, so if there is not a regular special or therapeutic foster home,
yes.
available, which, yep. it would be like, say, if you were to open as a foster adoptive family, your home, you would open that space and your family life to this child to enter.
Yes.
If that was not available for a child, then there are other resources that are looked into for these children, such,
okay.
as residential settings, which would be, yep. like, you know, we used to call them like group homes.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was asking,
or like
about. Yeah.
A campus,
yep.
setting.
Okay.
We try our best to reduce the amount of time that children spend in residential settings because it's just not realistic life. We want to give those normative experiences to,
yeah.
children, and a residential setting is not that.
That's right? Correct. Yeah. And plus moving around 9,000 times is never good for,
yeah.
the mind at that,
yeah.
age, you know, being unsettled, you know. Okay. So we have a child. The child needs a foster home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then comes in you,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have the other side of this, right? There's two big sides of this, right? There's multiple sides of this. But then you have a bunch of parental units and or houses and people that want to become foster parents, right?
Correct.
So take me through somebody calling up the organization, asking that they would like to be a foster parent, and how they get to, hey, we can be a foster parent. Can,
okay.
you take me through that?
Yeah.
Like in some kind of,
yeah,
you know.
That's my wheelhouse.
Awesome.
For sure.
This is what I, this is completely fascinating and awesome to me. So tell me how this works.
So as a home finder, that's a little bit of what I do, is to find homes.
Find the home.
Find the home. Cool. Find the family.
Yes.
Right. So as the first point of contact for somebody who's interested in certifying to be a foster adoptive parent, what I would do is kind of get an idea about, you know, what interests them. You know, are you interested in learning more about just foster care? Or have you thought about this? Have you thought about being just a foster parent, fostering to adopt? Kind of get an idea of like what the intention is behind that call. Some people are just curious and want to know more, and then they wind up going through it. So the first step is basically just a conversation, getting to know each other. Then you would fill out an application. This application details, you know, who you are, the people who are in your household, if you have any pets. You know, there's an area where you would mark if you have any criminal history. And then, you know, if you have, you know, your license, vehicle, registration, things like that. So it's very admin. Excuse me. It's very admin at first. And then the process kind of kicks off from there. That application is what I call the ticket into the class. From there, you would be enrolled to take a 30-hour training called NTDC.
Okay.
Now, NTDC is the National Training and Development Curriculum for Foster Adoptive Families. I lead those classes with my co-facilitators, and through the 30 hours, it's kind of a assessment process. So we teach skills and we encourage conversations and we do what are called case studies to get you thinking about some very real world examples of foster care, because the experience is unique in every case. And we really want people to start coming up with creative ideas about how to help a child through the experience of foster care. Now, that class meets once a week for 10 weeks.
Okay.
It goes about 3 hours for each class. And the reason why we only meet once a week is because there's a lot of information within those 3 hours, a lot of conversation that happens. And we want you to mull over that throughout the week.
These are big decisions.
These are big decisions.
I mean, these are life decisions. Right. This isn't like, oh, I'm just going to foster.
Right. You know, for like, your life and for their life.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, everybody involved.
Yeah, we want to make sure that this is something that's right for you and right for the child. And so throughout those 10 weeks, we have those kind of conversations, because when you start the class, you might think one way, and then when you end the class, you might think another way. You might think, well, maybe I do only want to foster to reunify. Maybe I want to foster to adopt, and that's my goal. Or maybe I don't want to do this yet, but I could help out another foster family and offer them respite on the weekends.
I didn't even think about that. There's so many different options with this.
Yeah, all under the same certification.
Yeah, and that's obviously all those things are needed, too.
Yeah.
Wow. So you go through the class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we say, you know, the family says, okay, wonderful. I would like to do one of those things. And they seem like they pass all the... Check the boxes, I'll put it that way.
Yes.
Right? They check the boxes to be able to do this, right? So then we have a family willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end, children that need it. What happens now? How does that match happen, right?
Right. So it's kind of something that we say is we're a little bit of like the matchmakers.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So a part of the conversation throughout that 30-hour class is, what do you think you could accommodate in your home? We're talking about age range, different types of like behaviors or medical needs, things like that. We're really trying to assess what you think you can handle. And, you know, not just the capability, but the willingness that you can put forward for children. So then a child is in need. We make a phone call if we think that you would be helpful to this child and if this child would do well in your home. There's a lot of things to take into consideration, such as planning and proximity, because we want to reduce the amount of moves and changes for a child.
Yep.
I think that's why we're called close to home. Right. If a child can stay in the same school district, stay around their friends and their culture and have a lot of the same similar elements while such a big change happens in their life, we want to do as much as we can to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how that match is made. You know, we assess all these different areas of the child's well-being and see if we have a family that can continue meeting all of these areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then do they like, are there like, I don't want to call it like a trial run, but do they meet first before they the child would go there?
Sometimes, not always.
Okay, I'm just wondering, like all these little like idiots. There's so many things to think about with something like this.
We always prefer to have what's called a planned move. So if there's an opportunity to like, you know, say that there's a child placed in a foster home that is a foster only home, you know, they're not a foster adoptive home, but say this child is freed for adoption, they deserve permanency. So we'd be looking for an adoptive home.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. We would hopefully do a planned move where we could, you know, meet another family, get to know them a little bit, do a respite, ultimately working towards that permanent move. That's ideal, but it doesn't always happen that way.
Of course. And what's the age range for adoption? Is it 0 to 17 or is it what's the...
You can be adopted at any time.
Wow. Can I be adopted?
You could. You could.
I do not need that service, but sometimes I feel like in the morning it'd be nice to just go into somebody else's house and then.
Yeah, kids can stay in foster care up until 21.
Okay, that was my logistical question. Yeah. Right? How far does, you know, what is the, what would you say, I mean, I don't want to say average age, but because it's probably all between there, right?
It is.
It's like just a, you know, there's no averages or whatever. How many, so let me ask this question, if you could, I don't know if you could answer this or not. Mm-hmm. How many foster children do you think you place a year into houses, like you personally?
That's a good question.
It's a crazy question. Yeah. Right? You don't have to, I mean, if you don't know the answer to this, but it seems like, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the answer for you. Our program, you know, we do a number of placements, a number of reunifications and adoptions. I don't have the numbers, but I could tell you it's a good bit.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's, like, no downtime at this job.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got a day off. There's nobody that needs anything.
Right. There's always a need to be met.
There's always a list of things, you know. Sometimes with my job, I feel like I'm done, and then I have some time off, and I get to sit there and, you know. Not to say that my job's not important either, but everybody's jobs are important. But some jobs are a little, I would think, more societally important than others.
There's different levels of communities.
Yeah, there's different. And your job's like super important. Like, you do really great work. I mean, I'm not diminishing my job. You know, I'm teaching people and stuff like that. But like, if they don't take a guitar lesson, like, they're probably going to eat later on and have a house to go to. Like,
I hear you.
Yours is a different thing. It's a different. And so let me ask this question. And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Okay. But I always like to bring this up. This must be, to some degree, mentally challenging, a mentally challenging job.
Yeah.
Right. So how does one, how do you deal with those, well, I don't know. How are you doing? Like, I mean, I don't know. How would you deal with those things? And I mean, I'm taking a million times of drugs or something, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, how does one deal with this? I mean, it must be tough.
Yeah, there are definitely days where it's challenging. You know, the system can be difficult to navigate.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, that, you know, everybody that is within the system, you know, social workers, our case managers, case planners, our therapists and home finders, the whole team, right? We all need to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves.
Yes.
It's like how they say when you're on a plane, you put the mask on first before you can help somebody else.
That's right.
So that's super important across the board. I definitely make sure that I take time for myself, because if I am not regulated, how could I help somebody else?
Yeah.
I think that in my role throughout teaching, that's actually something that helps me, is teaching other people, because it's consistent reminders of, hey, I need to do this too. We talk about how important it is to regulate ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to continue lifelong learning. And every time that I teach our class, it's a constant reminder that I'm also deserving of these things. The system, like I said, is really difficult to navigate. And so I always think of how difficult it must be for our kids to be in the system that is difficult to navigate.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Like, I said, you know, like, because there are, and it's so, you're dealing with people's lives.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big thing, you know, and you're obviously trying to do the best. And every once in a while, sometimes something can slip through. You know, obviously, you like, you just don't know because you don't know people.
Right.
You can only get to know them as much as you can before it has to move, you know, in a direction.
Yeah. You know, things can, they can get to a level of frustration, but it's really important, like, in our system and especially in our program to remember that we are all on the same team.
That's right.
We all are child-focused and making sure that we can create a better future. And, you know, they say, what is that phrase? It takes a village.
Yeah.
Right? It does take a village. And sometimes it just takes a village to make sure that the village is created. So that's a bit
right.
of what we do.
And everybody out there in Radio Land, we should all be on the same team. We're all on the same team.
Yeah.
We need to look out for everybody. We need to help everybody. And that's the most important thing. But you also have to help yourself. And you said this before. If you don't, if you're not there, it's really hard to help other people if you're not helping yourself and you're not, you don't feel at least healthy or moving towards some kind of healthy goal, you know what I mean? We always don't always feel healthy, right?
Right.
You know, there are days you wake up and you're like, ah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I do the same with teaching. But you all, you made a really good point. It's like when you're teaching stuff, realizing that you're also in that boat and you deserve the things too. Just as an educator too, and I know this is a much different thing, but it's the same concept. Is like when I'm teaching guitar or something like that, I'm like thinking about what I'm playing and like also learning myself.
Yeah.
And reminding myself and relearning things from time to time. Cause sometimes people ask questions and I haven't done that thing for a long time.
Yes.
And it's like, oh man, I haven't done this in a long time. And you would know this with art stuff too, you know, like, hey, can you draw that? Or can you do this? Or you can do that. Or, you know, here's charcoal. Do you know how to use it? You know, and you're kind of like, yeah, I haven't done it in like 10 years. And it takes like a few minutes of smudging. You know, and you're like, oh man, like I forgot, like I can't do that because it, you know, and you, but you, once you learn it and kind of sink yourself into it, you can kind of go back to it. It just takes a little bit more, a little bit like of a focus, you know, but I do this constantly when I'm, but if you're somewhat, if you're always kind of involved in it, you're always making yourself better at that thing too.
Right.
And more comfortable with it. So it's kind of, cool.
I learned something every time from teaching the class too. Like I'm teaching them, but like they are teaching me too. We
100%.
Had the class last night and you know, one of the slides we were talking about challenging situations, right? And like, so say you have a child that's placed in your home and they have sensory issues when it comes to putting on lotion, but they have extremely dry skin. And so there's a medical need to help them. What do we do? And there's these answers that we go over, you know, maybe try some spray lotion or putting glitter in the lotion, maybe different oils, etc. And somebody in the class had said, I would try to make it a game and ask the child to paint themselves with the lotion with a paintbrush. I never thought of that.
Yeah, right?
And I'm like, wow, that's going to my brain bank. I'm taking that with me. Everybody else from here on out is going to learn about this.
Yeah, right?
That was incredible.
When I was teaching, speaking of that kind of stuff, just when I was teaching, I learned one of the, like, my right-hand picking techniques that I use for guitar when I was teaching a four-year-old.
Whoa.
Because the four-year-old didn't know what they were doing, right? So they just came in and they were like, I think it should be done this way. And I'm like watching them do something. And I was like, that's not the way. Wait a minute. That's actually kind of brilliant, you know, because once again, when you have somebody who doesn't, has no idea what's going on and they pick something up and they start noodling with it, they automatically go to what their brain thinks that they should do. And that's not in any way or shape or form sometimes what is the tested and tried and true thing. But how often in life is the tried and true thing the right thing to do? It's not necessarily always that, you know. It's like maybe some variation of it, but since we are individual people, everything is tweaked mm-hmm. to those people. So, yeah, no, yeah. I totally get it.
That's like pure creativity, like untethered creativity. I love that. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. And it's just, I think you find that when you teach, you see that quite a bit. You mm-hmm. know, you're like, oh, what is that person thinking before you, you know, even with something like this? Like,
right.
what do they think of X, Y, and Z? And then their thought process sometimes is like, I never looked at it that way, right?
Yes.
It's, you know, I always say life is not about whether you can do the thing. It's whether how many different ways you can do the thing.
Right.
You know, like from all aspects of it.
Yeah.
It's super important. If you could just do the thing, then you're just very specifically doing the thing, and that's a job. You know what I mean? I'm
right.
moving box from X to Z, but, like, you know, how do I – other ways to do it?
Yeah. Sometimes we learn something. It's so, like, straightforward that when we learn something that veers from that, it's, like, it's a little like, whoa, like, that's cool. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Are we sure that it worked? Okay. You know, opening the mind in that way is just so interesting. You know, to hear that a four-year-old was able to...
Oh, yeah. You know,
it's a new technique. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's totally bizarre, you know. And just, I don't know, the whole teaching thing is super rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time. So you feel like you are definitely helping, you know. And not only that, but helping yourself, right? So that's the most important
thing.
And
we need it, too. You know, I see kids all the time that, you know, they want to do things like learn how to play guitar. They want to, you know, express themselves through photography and arts and stuff like that. So it's like having really important resources in our community for these things to be able to give them access to is so important. we teach the, like, we call it the prudent parenting and, you know, normative experiences. And that's a whole part of it, is giving access to these community resources through things that kids just want to do, whether it's like soccer or karate or baseball, guitar, singing lessons, things like that. I mean, it does take a village. It does take a community. You know, a lot of people I tend to hear, they're like, well, I don't know if I could do it, I don't know if I could help. They can. They can help.
They can, yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of discussion.
Yeah, and if anybody's out there listening and you ever thought about this, think about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like it's such an important thing. Okay, so at the end of the, in like 10 minutes or so, I'll kind of go through and state all this stuff that's on the sheet here and kind of talk about how to get a hold of you, and I'll put links in my show thing so people can look at the flyer that was left here and contact information and so forth. But let me ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
This is not related to this at all.
Sure.
Meryl goes to work. Mm-hmm. Meryl gets done with work. What does Meryl do when Meryl's not doing this? This is a good question, right?
That is a good question.
What does Meryl do when Meryl's not doing this? What does Meryl like to do?
So I have a golden retriever who I absolutely adore. He's like my whole life.
What's the name?
Arium. It's Latin for golden.
Oh.
Yeah, he is adorable. So I like to take him out on walks. Aside from that, you know, I do love my fair share of video games.
Sure. What you playing these days? Anything in particular?
Yeah, so right now I'm playing Valheim.
Okay.
With my brother and sister-in-law.
Awesome.
And we've gotten very far. It's a great little community building game. My partner lives in Rockland County, so I'll travel down there.
Okay.
And visit. And, you know, we'll go to things like expos and stuff like that.
Very cool.
Yeah, I enjoy fishing.
Awesome.
Kayaking.
Do you fly fish at all? Have you ever fly fish?
I have not. So we were kind of talking about getting into that.
Oh, my God. It's super, like making the flies.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I took a fly class. There's one here, too, where you learn how to tie them.
Oh, that would be cool.
It's super, fly fishing's super fun. It's super hard.
Do you get caught on it? I feel like I would.
Yeah, it's just really like you don't necessarily. It's so light, but there's this crazy art to it, you know. It's like a Zen thing, and I was never very good at it. But it was fun, You know, it's more of the process for me than it was the thing. Like, I didn't care whether I caught a fish or not. It was more like putting waders on and going in a river.
Yeah.
And like, just kind of being out there and like doing the thing and talk with somebody else. And like, oh, I brought a picnic basket. I could sit on the side. You know what I mean? It's like all those things. It's really the thing.
Yeah. I just got my first pair of waders last year.
All right. So. Waiting. And what about music?
Oh my gosh, I love music.
This is what I'm talking about.
All sorts of music.
So what's going on with you with the music scene?
Well, I do enjoy going to concerts. I just recently went to Debonair Music Hall in New Jersey and saw Gabe Woodrow Music.
Okay.
I found him on TikTok. TikTok surprisingly has been a wonderful resource for my like music expansion.
Sure. You're ticking the talking, huh?
Yeah.
I've stayed away.
That's probably good.
I'm not judging it at all. I've stayed away from it because it's too many flashes of like small things for my brain to handle.
Yeah, it's very, very like short information and sometimes it's just kind of brain rot, you know?
But yeah,
like, music is good. And my For You page has really been developing around music.
Okay.
But yeah, so I went out to Debonair Music Hall. It was a very like small event. I met Gabe. We hung out at the merch table.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And there were other bands there that I had never heard of. And what I like to do is, I haven't heard of them, but they're going to be at the show. I'm not going to listen to them until I get there. And now I have new favorite bands.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are give me like five bands that you enjoy listening to.
Suddenly, I don't remember anything.
Suddenly, there's no bands out of the millions of bands available.
Right. So
you got some in there, right?
My top would probably be the Menzingers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love the Menzingers. I've seen them a number of times.
Very cool. Never seen them, but.
Oh, they're amazing. I do love Noah Kahan so much.
Right.
The Bouncing Souls.
Oh, yeah, right? That's old school.
Love them.
Bringing that up, right?
Cool. The Blind Owl Band.
Okay, I know. Are they local? No.
I don't know. I've seen them a couple different
times. You know, I've seen them, too, and I'm trying to remember. Where?
They did come to Oneonta. One of the times was at the theater here in Oneonta.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're from Ithaca. Are they?
Possibly. I could look it up.
Yeah, Blind Owl. Why do I know them? I think maybe I saw them there, or maybe I even played that show. It's so funny because sometimes I'm like, I played with that band, and I don't even remember. Maybe they were at Eastbound Throwdown.
Saranac Lake.
They're from Saranac. Okay, so that makes sense. Okay, yeah. So they might have been at the Eastbound Throwdown with Eastbound Jesus. I don't know.
Like, that sounds right.
Yeah, because I played that.
And they reference Eastbound Jesus in the song.
They do?
Missing My Home, yep.
Okay, so I played that festival a couple times with like the Spectacular Average Boys and some other
awesome.
Incarnations. So there would be bands like that, like just kind of kicking around at those things. You know, those like, they're kind of like festivals, but more regional festivals is what I would call them. You know what I mean? Like all these bands that are occupying whatever.
Like a string band.
Yeah, and there's a pretty big, it's like the hipster string band scene. I don't know, you know. Okay, what else?
Yeah, actually at the Oneonta Theater when I saw them, it was probably one of the most impressive performances I've seen from a stand-up bass player. He was like laying on the ground playing the bass.
That's
like
awesome.
Super hard.
Oh, it wait a minute. So I remember cool. That guy was crazy.
Yes, that was them.
Okay, so I was at that show.
Yes.
So I remember them because of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like a lunatic.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Okay, right. Blind Owl. They're still playing?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen them in a long time. I think the very last time many years ago that I went to Peach Festival, they had a set, and then they were playing kind of like out and about.
Yeah. They played upstairs in the smaller theater up there. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really crazy.
Yeah.
I think they play like Grassroots and stuff probably too and stuff like that. Oh, maybe. I don't know. Anyways, that's funny remembering these things from a long time ago.
Yeah.
That theater. Man, I hope they open that back up soon.
That would be nice. Yeah.
I loved it there. Yeah. Super cool. Okay, so I'm going to go over a couple things quick.
Sure.
Just so, Children's Home, right?
Yes.
Is the name of the organization. They are a nonprofit, foster care, right? And if you ever are interested in becoming a foster parent. And also, if you know of anybody that might need something, is that as well? Or you just deal with the parents?
So what I do is I'm the first point of contact for those who are interested in helping.
Okay, great.
So if you are interested in becoming a foster parent or a foster adoptive parent, or even just interested in getting a certification so that you could help other foster families through respite, which is basically just, you know, having a kid for like a weekend.
Yeah,
or
sure.
A week
they need time off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's some contacts for everybody. Number 607-765-9059. The couple web things, www.chowc.org. Or M. Juster, J-U-S-T-E-R, at C-H-O-W-C.org. I will post this, a picture of all this on my Insta as well. There's the next course for this is starting in April 2026. And it seems like your meetings are Monday nights. Is that when you normally?
Generally, yes.
Generally Monday nights.
I could
nights.
Also okay. offer, you know, different sessions if schedules don't accommodate for
okay.
Monday night specifically. That would have to be a conversation. But yes.
Monday and these nights. Are virtual and in person?
Or? Yep. So we do offer virtual courses. I could also do classes in person. The reason we've started doing virtual courses is because of childcare needs for families, as well as travel cost.
Sure.
So, you know, our counties in upstate, we are big counties.
Yeah.
And we've realized
no,
that
it spans
it
a huge,
a
I mean, that's a long, that's a big area.
Yeah. We want to meet people where they're at. We want to meet kids where they're at. And just because our classes are online, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're not going to be out to the home to meet you. So
this is awesome. I want to thank Meryl for coming in today. Tomorrow I have Janai LaVita. LaVita, she's a new professor in the music department. And her name is awesome, Janai LaVita, and I've been singing, I live in Janai LaVita. So she's going to be on tomorrow morning. Thursday is Gavin Vitale. He's actually going to be taking over. I'm going to go sit where Meryl's sitting over there, and Gavin's going to come here, and he's going to spin some house music, and we're going to talk about our favorite five basketball players from both of our favorite teams, which would be the Knicks and the Denver Nuggets. And on Friday, Clark Oliver, the wonderful he was on the county board. He was on city, I think, or maybe he just did county. But I think he was also city on the city council. He also bartends at the Autumn Cafe. He's a dancer. He's a singer. He's an amazing, amazing individual. So that is going to round out the week here on What's in Your Pocket. Before I sign off, which is in like 30 seconds, favorite restaurant in Oneonta. Shoot it. What is it? What we got?
B-Side for sure.
B-Side Ballroom, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. The food there is good. The atmosphere is great. The drinks are amazing. And, yeah, people. Meryl, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
You're the best. Everybody, this was episode 91. We'll be back tomorrow for episode 92 with Janai LaVita. Rock and roll, everyone.
Is that you?
Little, little, little.
Oh my God, you're a fan of WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta?
Little, little, little.
Shakira, do you keep it locked?
Little, little, little.
Don't touch that dial.
We, as student leaders and members of student-run organizations, recognize the urgent need for community solidarity in the face of recent immigration raids, attacks on DEI initiatives, trans rights, and safe spaces on our campus and the world around us.
As students, we share feelings of fear, uncertainty, and vulnerability during these times. As our identities, histories, and families continue to be under attack, we have chosen to take action and refuse anticipatory obedience.
Our clubs and organizations stand united as safe havens for all students navigating these challenging times. We commit ourselves to utilizing our collective platforms to amplify this message, offer community support, and mobilize for a call to action. Together, we remain focused in our efforts